Chapter 27. Lara took charge of the aftermath. A dozen security guards were dead, another dozen maimed and crippled. The walls in the hallway where the guards had sprung their ambush were so covered in blood that it looked like they'd been painted red. At least a dozen more personnel hadn't been able to reach the battle before it was over. It had all happened so swiftly, which meant that there was someone available to help stabilize the wounded and clean up the bodies. The Skinwalker's hex had effectively destroyed every radio and cell phone in the chateau, but the landlines, based on much older, simpler technology, were still up. Lara called in a small army of other employees, including the medical staff that the Wraiths kept on retainer. I sat with my back against the wall while all this happened, a little apart from the activity. It seemed appropriate. My head hurt. When scratching an itch, I noticed that there was a wide stripe of mostly dried blood covering my left ear and spreading down my neck. It must have been a scalp wound. They bleed like crazy. After some indeterminately fuzzy length of time, I looked up to see Lara supervising the movement of her two wounded relatives. The two vampires were liberally smeared with their own blood, and both were senseless. When they were carried off in stretchers, the medics began helping wounded security guards, and Lara walked over to me. She knelt down in front of me, her pale gray eyes concealing whatever thought was behind them. "Can you stand, wizard?"
"Can," I said. "Don't want to."
She lifted her chin slightly and looked down at me, one hand on her hip.
"What have you gotten my little brother involved in?"
"Wish I knew," I said. "I'm still trying to figure out where the bullets are coming from." She folded her arms.
"The doomed warrior. The Skinwalker meant the fugitive warden, I presume."
"It's one way to interpret that." Lara studied me intently and suddenly smiled, showing neat white teeth.
"You have him. He came to you for help."
"Why the hell would you think that?" I asked.
"Because people in hopeless situations come to you for help on a regular basis, and you help them. It's what you do."
She tapped her chin with one finger.
"Now, to decide what is more advantageous, to play along with the Skinwalker's demands, or to write Thomas off as a loss, take the warden from you, and turn him into fresh political capital for those who are hunting him. There is a rather substantial reward for his capture or death."
I eyed her dully.
"You're going to play along. You're hoping that you'll be able to act reluctant and get some concessions from me in exchange for your cooperation, but you're going to give it to me anyway."
"And why should I do that?" Lara asked.
"Because after the coup attempt in the deeps, Thomas is a white court celebrity. If you let some big bad shag nasty come along and kill him after it openly defies you in your own home, you look weak. We both know you can't live with that."
"And by giving in to his demands, I avoid the appearance of weakness?" she asked skeptically.
"No, Dresden."
"Damn right no," I said. "You're going to play along, set Shag Nasty up, and then take him out in the true treacherous tradition of the White Court. You get Thomas back, you lay low a heavyweight, you gain status among your own folk."
She narrowed her eyes at me, her expression giving me no hint to the direction of her thoughts. Then she said, "And when that is done, what if I should take the warden and turn him over to the White Council myself? It would be a formidable bargaining chip to bring to the table with your folk in the future."
"Sure it would, but you won't do that."
"Won't I?" Lara asked. "What's stopping me?"
"I am,"